No. Jamaica. Good evening. This is the CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, and it is Sunday, October 30, which is Halloween. And you're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, and this is your host, Cecile, Sister Cecile, and tonight we are going to be having some fun. Fun. We're going to be having fun with this this Kevin Smith story. Kevin Smith, the cult pastor out of Jamaica. So if you're listening to my show, you could call in at 661-467-2407. And if you want to talk with us, dial 1 on your keyboard. So, yes, I see my trusted co-host as linked in. So, as I said, we're going to have some fun tonight, so anywhere you are, in Jamaica or anywhere in the world you are, tune in and listen to us lime and jibe about Kevin Smith. Yes, we're going to be liming and jiming about this cult dude. I wouldn't even call him pastor. Yes, just imagine a world where we live as one. Yes, people, I see that I have my co-host here with me. Dr. Eva, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Thanks.
Happy Goose Day.
You know what? I saw this man today, and I'm like, it looked like he was having a hangover from Halloween, because the way he was dressed, I couldn't tell who he was. I couldn't decipher any kind of character he was. So I'm like laughing and saying to myself, this dude look like he's having a Halloween hangover. Can't tell what kind of person.
Oh,
but anyway, tonight, Dr. Ev, we're going to be talking about Kevin Smith. We're going to be, you know, deciphering the rumors and the interviews that we've heard during the week, and we're going to see where it's going to lead us, because in spite of everything, Kevin Smith, the cult pastor, he's dead. So some people say it's going to be trouble when he rears on the ninth night. So the ninth night is going to be on Monday to Monday, 8th, so it's going to be on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, Jamaica, look out, because Kevin Smith is going to be risen, and he's going to take the place by storm, because that's what a lot of people are saying. It's not over with Kevin Smith. He's still around. So, you know, when we talk about Kevin Smith and his actions, we look at how powerful the mind is. The mind is a powerful thing, and you have people who are so gullible. You know, people are looking for belonging, wanting to be somebody, and their minds get carried away. And I believe this is what happened to a lot of these people. And, you know, to shed more light on this and how powerful the mind is, Dr. Ev, tell us how powerful the mind is.
Why, I'm no scientific mind reader or anything like that, but on a serious note, though, I think that sometimes we don't realize Let's put it in a simple way. It's like a computer. Our mind is like a computer. We can download, upload, we can erase, we can get corrupted. How many times your computer get corrupted? Somebody can put a malware in your system. Them can try to hack it. Them can try to do all kind of thing to you, because the most important thing in the world is not your beauty, is not the amount of money you have, is not the family you're from, is not many accolades. The only important thing that you have that is worth anything is your mind. So when you even look at advertisements, think about, you look at advertisements, and they have certain way how they do advertisements. Some of these techniques they even banned. They usually use in, when you go to the theater, they usually use what you call the blip, then just flick it on the scene for a particular product, and involuntarily you'll go up, get up out of your seat and go and buy that particular product. And all those usually do them thing. So when you're looking at it, we are not as complicated as we really think we are. I will dare to say that we are not in control as we dare to think that we are. The influences, the bombardment of messages, this is what a lot of people, when you really think, certain religious people or certain people who believe certain things will tell you they don't listen to TV, they don't listen to so-and-so, because all of these are sending certain suggestive messages to your mind or captivating your mind, working on your mind. For example, the evil Mac Toxic place there, what they do, they start with the little children, and here they're going to work. Oh, if you want to capture children's mind and really take their focus, you're going to have everything to do with toy. And while you're eating the food, you're playing the toy with the toy. You're eating the food. You're not really realizing even what you're eating because you're focusing on the toy. A lot of people never really enjoy them food because I know how them food tastes. And this may sound strange because them I listen to music and them I listen to that and them never take the time to even taste an apple to really know how the apple tastes because them now focus on it. Them I do everything else. So they're not really focused on it. When you look at a little child eating whatever that stuff is, but him I play the game. And when you listen to the advertisement, you're not advertising the food simultaneously with the joy of doing that. I'm sure, I am almost sure, if you take 1,000 children and you say, who do you want to get dinner from tonight, the Mac Toxic place or mommy? I am almost 1,000% sure that if you get 2 or 3 children who say, mommy, I want you to cook, I would be surprised. Everybody's going, Mac Toxic, whatever. You know, that's who they want to get. See, because they're programmed to believe that is, they don't care even about nutritious nor anything. They have toys, they have, you know, this is where all of the kids say they're going. This is where when you do something good, I'm going to take you there. You're being a good boy. So look how much programming you're programming your child. If I do good, I'm going to give you poison. Poison. I'm going to give you food that is not nutritious to your body. But we don't even interpret it like that. So that person, if you're in Jamaica or anything, your children probably will get certain things once in a year. I know for when we're growing, we're not programmed like that. So somebody wouldn't get up and say, hey, you know, we would say, hey, we want a patty. You know, because that's what you're kind of more programmed to. But you wouldn't say you want a McToxic or, you know, that company that I'm talking about. Right. So if you look at that, your child will tell you, even before they can talk properly, they're requesting that they want because they see they're bombarded with that on TV. They make the little boxes beautiful. So they're giving you a visual imprint and an audio imprint. Exactly. And your mama is giving you a reward. And we don't even know that. So the next time you're passing this place, oh, they start to yell and scream, Mom, I want this. I want to go to so-and-so. So now we go back to our churches. As a little child, your parents, as you're born, you're taken to be blessed before you're conscious of this place. It depends on which one of them you belong to. And folks, you know, sometimes it's so, and here's the thing, it is so difficult for certain folks to listen even to this conversation. And the reason they cannot listen to the conversation, and this is when you know you're in trouble, when you cannot listen to a conversation that is so relevant to your life, to even have a look at the possibility, and your mind is so cut off. That's supposed to be a sign that something has went awry here. It's supposed to be a little signal somewhat. So you're born. Your parents take you to be blessed. Your parents take you to do all of that. By time, I mean, of course, anywhere you're going, especially when you're a baby, they're taking you. So all of that sound and vibration from the church is coming into your mind before you can talk. By time you talk, you know, this is where you go to Sunday school. They even give you a special school in the organization where you're starting to be trained and programmed. And then you're programmed through this thing we call the Bible. And as you know, the Bible is translating into so many other different religions. And that should spark for us a conversation. Dang, you have one Bible. Why is this one translating it like that? And why is that one translating it like that? That's supposed to really open up our eyes right away. And why is this person who is reading the same Bible of love and harmony and all of that thing, why is that organization against my organization? And that one saying bad things. Organization. So, and this one is telling me I am doing the right thing.
Okay. Hold your point. Because I am looking at, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm saying to myself, the Bible, you know, being translated into so many languages, I believe it has lost its interpretation through these languages. It's just like when you have, you know, when you're in school and you have that, that when you whisper something in one person's ear and the other person whispers the same thing. And at the end of the line, it's a totally different thing, totally different from what started out. So listening to you, I am getting that the Bible has lost its interpretation, having been translated into all these languages. I don't know if you understand what you're saying.
You have to remember that also there are words that is in certain language that totally mean a different. For example, el pan. You say pan. Pan in Spanish is bread in English. You know, yes. I mean, there are certain letters, the alphabet, they're not in certain languages. There are certain, how you really, there are certain words in certain languages that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there is nothing, say, all right, say dog, for example. I could say another word because certain language, say, even like, say, homosexual, there are certain language that don't know that word because how mm-hmm. they're saying, they don't have a word for it.
For that.
Right? So when you look at interpretation, not only that, if, for example, while you're in school, you have a chapter, you read a chapter and the teacher says, Cecile, what's your interpretation of that? And I read the same chapter. And you say to me, write your interpretation of the same chapter. Almost 90, 100%. Your interpretation of what you read and my interpretation of what you read, although we're in the same classroom, being taught by the same teacher, we're not going to come up with the same interpretation.
Exactly.
And we're reading the same thing. This is also the same thing with the Bible. John Brown, remember, one of the reasons why we had even so many versions of the Bible, beginning with King James, he wanted to marry a divorcee, and he went in and changed and rewrite all of this. And this book that we now know as the Bible, part of what we commonly know as the Bible, this is only, less than 2,000 years around about it. As a matter of fact, all this religious stuff. What about them way A.D., Adam and Eve, and all of those things that the majority of people don't talk about? That we're mm-hmm. looking at this world just 2,000 years ago. Now, when you look at how people, your teacher, your mama, your brother, your community, everybody is vying for a piece of your mind and your attention, you know.
That is so true.
Everybody.
Yep.
So, you know, you talk to John, and John will tell you how much him
this
good or that not good. And you know I hear where my same get mad. And you say, she not even understand what I'm saying. She mm-hmm. been telling this over and over and over and over. She not understanding. You know what I mean? Because in now I get you are, you know, convinced.
But you see,
I think...
Go ahead. You go ahead.
The thing about it, when you look at the, and let us talk about the same Bible here. When you look at the Bible, and I'm not gonna go too deep, and I wish your audience would just chime in here. And I think this is the time that we really should take a little time to breathe and think about what we're thinking and what we're believing. And I am not here to change anybody's mind or to try and convince anybody in any means at all. That's not my job. I am just basically saying, which I'm talking also to myself, one has to be careful of what you think you believe and what who you're listening to, the messages that you care to take inside of your space, and that deals with a lot of things. For example, even with politics, if you're a certain religious belief, you're quite likely to believe in certain kind of politics. You're quite likely to eat certain kind of food. You're quite likely to wear a certain kind of clothes. You're quite likely to behave a certain kind of a way. just by your religious belief, you have this this list of behavior that says, if you do this and you say this, oh, you must be a Muslim, or you must be that, or you must be a Christian, or you must be a non-believer. There's certain behaviors and that goes along with that.
Yes.
When
so
you look at,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. When we look at how religion is, say for example, slavery, and you know, let me just put my little touch. This is only my little touch. I mean, when you look at the Bible, and I'm not a very great on biblical scholar, I have very little knowledge. And somebody will say, oh, if you have very little knowledge, it's worse than some. You're even worse in a lot of positions. Hey, say what you mean. You look at a Bible, who opposed slavery, and you can find and a lot of people who believe in this Bible, especially if you're a person of color, you really take the time to sit down and go through that Bible and hear what it says about certain people and how it treats certain people, you will probably start to look and say, what's going on here? If you look at the Bible and how it opposed slavery and what it tells you that you as a master can do to your slave, murder them, you'll do certain things and you won't be punished, and you as a slave is to be. So they had a Bible diversion, and some folks don't even know they call it slave Bible. And
yes,
you have different Bible based on what they extrapolate and how they formulate certain things. So when you look at all of those things and you realize how powerful this is, and to control you, to make a whole generation of person, no one generation, you know, it is so damn powerful that generation after generation after generation upholding something that is so much misogynistic behavior to women. And we are the people in the world who uphold it so much.
Yeah.
When you look at
the long and short of this, so the long and short of this is guarding your mind. Guarding your mind. You know,
absolutely,
guarding your mind.
But
and one would
too,
ask, how,
what is it to guard your mind? How do you guard your mind? What is it that I should take in and what I should not take in? That's another tricky thing, too. What should I want to believe and what shouldn't I stay away from? You, as a program, you don't even know either.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, we are all programmed because I see it every day in Kristen. She would watch the little things on her iPad, and I've been warning, stop this thing, stop her from watching all these things. And next thing you know, Kristen is throwing a tantrum for something that she has seen, something that she wants to eat because of what she sees. You know, sometimes is that the things don't even work. And you as an adult, like, why am I spending my money? But you keep spending money and buying stuff that she sees on TV, she hears on her tablet, and she wants them. This is how her mind is programmed.
Is that you talking about a little girl or a little child here?
A little child, a six-year-old. She is programmed. And you know, she has like 5-6 dolls. Up come an advertisement showing these dolls, some more dolls, like Shopkins or the Cabbage Patch Cabbage Patch Kids. What's the other one there?
I have no idea now.
Jojo Siwa, the Jojo Siwa dolls. and she has a lot of dolls. And guess what? She'll tear you down to get her that doll. Get her that doll because she wants it. So she's programmed that way. So these advertisements that are coming over the TV and the radio, they are there to program, to chart our minds, to look in one direction, as a friend of mine said, to take away your money.
Let's hold it at that point there. Here's a little girl who never worked, who lives under her mother's roof, 5-year-old. Parents allow her to watch TV. Parents allow her, for whatever reason, every time she see a doll and she wants it, parents give it to her. Then when it's reached to a point now, parents say, hey, you have too much doll. And parents is complaining to this child all the while. But as much as the parents complain, they still comply to our orders. Oh, you give her one. And then she come at, then the parents say, no, you're not getting any more. So the child threw a tantrum and say, hey, literally, if you don't give me this, I'm going to roll myself on the ground. The parents is now afraid that somebody may hear the child screaming next door, call the law. So parents get so scared, I don't want this to happen, or I don't want my child, especially sometimes it's a grandchild, for my grandchild not to love me anymore. So I am going to break and give this 100 cabbage pack to this child. Now, when the child grows up a little bit more and the child is not around mama, that mama can give everything, our grandmother, the child has to be on his own, the child still is programmed to want excess. Mm-hmm. And the child will go get a credit card because not only she used to excess, so she wants the shoes, although she only have 2 foot, she has 100 shoes, still have tags on it. But she gets a credit card and she wants another one because she's programmed where they take away her sense of wanting and excess. Is being controlled. So every advertisement that has a new model of her shoes or a different style, she program her credit card, and now after a while she maxes her credit card and now she's in problem. She may come back to mama and say, mama, I need some money. Mama will say a few things but give her back to where the programming. Now, mama must be upset with the daughter for having all of this, but yet still mama was the one who created this monster. Because mama allowed that to happen. Now, okay. I want you to come back with me a little bit.
Okay.
When
hold the point. Let me throw in a song. Let's step out of Babylon.
Oh,
Yes, I am. We're stepping out of Babylon. Yeah, we're stepping out of Babylon, all right. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and you're listening to your host, Sister Cecile, and sharing the show tonight with me is Dr. Ev, and we've been talking about the power of the mind. Now, this all stems from this talking about Kevin Smith, the cult pastor in Jamaica, who sacrificed a number of his parishioners, sacrificed them for blood. And we've been listening to some interviews over this week, and them not sound too right. Them not sound too right. So I'll just allow Dr. Ebb to finish what she was saying, and then we're going to jump right into Kevin Smith and the sacrifices he has done. So Dr. Ebb, go ahead and finish your what you were saying before.
Well, thanks again, right? Stepping out of Babylon, boy. Yeah. I'm telling you, is a good segue into really what we're trying to do. Stepping out of Babylon is a matter of controlling oneself and controlling one mind. It's easier said than done, because if you're in Babylon, as them say, you're in Rome, you have to do what Romans do. And a lot of the problems that we're into is our mind and how we perceive ourselves within the Babylon system. This is why when I'm talking of Jamaica, in a sense, you have both one side, the antagonistic side, Babylon side, and you have the Rastaman side. From growing up a child, you have the Rastaman, a fight against Babylon and them shishtim, as them call it. And that is always something that has been in my mind. The things that Babylon control and support, and the Rastaman is, you know, against that too. The control of one's mind, as Bob Marley, and most of the Rastaman, most of the preaching, most of the teaching, is the very same thing that we're talking about. We can live a lot more productive life if we're not into the Babylon, quote-unquote, system. That doesn't mean you're going to isolate yourself and probably go in the wilderness or get off the grid, which, as you realize, if you guys are listening, there are a lot of people try to get off of the grid, forgetting their own sense of who they are and find themselves just doing so. But let's go back a little bit. As I said, some of the things that our children, we are the directors, we programmers of our children's mind. And where we send these children to be programmed, we are responsible as parents. However,
yes, we are.
If the parents them not get good counseling and good understanding about how the mind is, and to know that we're really programmed, then we're not going to have the sense of direction to consciously program our children in that direction. It's just going to be haphazard. This is how my mother grew, how we grow, and, you know, the chain never broken, and we continue to do. For example, let's get down to the church, because, you know, so that is the biggest part of this thing here now.
Yeah.
Mr. Kevin, your mother a Baptist, your grandmother was, you are Baptist now? Me can't go back. True, I mean 99% right. You are Baptist? Who your mother was Baptist? Your father was Baptist, yes. Your grandfather was Baptist, yes. My father was the Baptist church minister. And you go back and you see that. So, how come? So, your father belief system translate down to you? You ever think why your father become Baptist? Or because there's only one little Baptist church in the district where your father belonged to? And that's the only place. Because you didn't have to come for one donkey to go far off free year about any other church or any other denomination. So because that was close to you, and I want Baptist Church, didn't it? And everybody in the village go to so Pastor Jacob Church, and the only something. So this is why you, your grandmother, your grandfather, you picked me them a Baptist. Now, what kind of a belief is that? What do you believe in? Now, Jane over there, so she live in a Kingstown. She live near Anglican, big church, big pretty church, big building, something. So them live in another society. So then their mother go Anglican, because they live in a Kingstown, their brother go Anglican, their sister go Anglican, them that. So them are Anglican now. How did you?
Rehearse.
And you're gone in. And you're gone in. And my mother, Anglican church, we all go.
That is rehearsed Christianity.
Huh?
That is rehearsed Christianity.
Okay.
That is rehearsed.
So, well, that is all of us. That is all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no mother or father, I wouldn't say no, 99.9% 100%. You hear me? Go have them pick me at yard, and them a go church, and say to them, pick me. Pick me. You stay here on Sunday morning, and when you read our osmosis or some spirit give you something for believing something, you find your own belief system, and then you can make up your mind of what you want to believe in. None of you do.
No.
None.
No. You
whatever
just
you into, you drag your pygmy
child,
into.
Yeah.
And if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you are going to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Unless you have one like a weird word one, as we call one like a weird word one.
And you can, or you could only do that when you get to a certain age. I mean,
oh,
only
a certain
child,
age, my sister.
Yes,
my
you,
sister.
You have to.
By the time the damage done
already.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Your program already. So let's get back to the computer. So since you have some people who can write programs, like, you know, some the pastor, the teacher, them kind of manipulate the program, and they're going to program you. So like how we learn A, B, C, D, and 1, 2, 3, that is programming. That is a general program that is accepted. So, for example, when you have a pygmy, this country say as part of it, you have to be programmed with the basic things of reading and writing. The only way you can get away from that program is you run off of the grid, and you really have to run far for them to catch up with you, because your child does not belong to you, and a lot of people don't know that. It is the ward of the state. Them, you only can keep it for a little while, you know? But them can come and take away that child from you. Once it have a birth certificate, it's the United States or Jamaica people. Then can come in and take away the pygmy from you if them find cause to take it away from you. Enough of your pygmy. You understand? People be say, this is my child and this is this and that. You do it not or say to anything, and them call the government and you and you see what happened to you.
That is so true.
So once you program that child, so you program them to read and write and all of that, and in that programming now is a unique thing. You learn to read and write, but the people who really take advantage of that is those who can, at that point, manipulate the programming to differentiate what kind of a programming, how you're going to write this program or rewrite this program, right? You're going to upgrade this program. And you eventually now become so learned that you're going to write your own program to program other people. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. So in essence, what we're looking at, the situation with the parishioners of Kevin Smith's church, you see them getting caught up in this programming.
Absolutely, absolutely. Every church and every religious organization is programming. Every bit of it is programming. And some of them, to the degree that you're programmed so much that you will die. They tell you that you will die for this deity or you. And because remember, you're programmed so much that you're going to dedicate your life for this deity. Everything you eat, sleep, and drink is going to be in and praise and worship of this deity or God, whatever you call it, right? Mm-hmm. You go spend hours and hours praying, talking to, giving sacrifice, and a lot of us, and I hope we have some time to probably talk about with the sacrifice. It's not Kevin alone talk about sacrifice and sacrifice of blood. A lot of time people don't really look at the Bible and see the same Bible that they believe in, what they're believing in. Mm-hmm. And let me jump on it a little bit. Kevin may be talking about sacrifice and doing of blood. When you look at some churches is every quarter or whatever, they have the same blood and eating flesh. Can you imagine? Hear this, my sister. Sunday, you have a pastor get a whole big jug and him have a colored liquid in it. Some of them are certain kind of wine, but it red as blood. Him pray over it. Him said to the parishioners, drink this blood.
Yeah.
And it represents the blood of Christ. Jeez, your goodness.
It's getting very scary. It's getting very, very scary. I have been looking, since this Kevin Smith thingy, I have been looking deeply, real, real deeply into, the taking of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, where you take the blood. This is the blood. And I'm trying to equate it to the situation where they're drinking blood in the church. He's drinking blood, so they say.
But you don't have to equate it. This is exactly what it is. It doesn't say anything other than blood in earth represent the blood. Then it further say in the piece of bread, he said, break this blood out, the flesh. When you eat flesh, what is that, my sister? When you eat flesh, if I'm not a human being.
You're a cannibal.
Thank you. Listen, somebody they say this is a symbol. What do you mean by symbol? Symbol is because you really can't get the actual thing, so you have to perform it in a way to actualize exactly that. So when the pastor take the big old bowl and then call all on it together and then pour out that, and he drink it, and it's ready. It no have not like white water in a bath. His blood. It represent blood. When he give you a piece of bread, him say it represent the flesh. Him tell you, eat it, and you put that on your tongue, and you sit down, and not only that, you close your eye, and you know, I listen to no TV nor anything, so taste the blood and the flesh. I go down, and when you don't eat it, you put your palms together and you meditate, and then literally sit down and meditate upon you. So, okay, back up with me here. When you eat something and you drink something, I am not even, Isn't that represent you become a part of you? Whatever you eat is not nourish and represent a part of you. So the blood that you eat and the blood that you drink are the flesh and the blood
eat.
Is mm-hmm. to nourish you for it to become a part of you. And this is why you take it so secretly. Now, part of all of this, so you drink the blood and all of that. You're programming. So you're programming if you want to get holy, and they program you in that way. And you kind of feel holy. You kind of feel close to whoever your God is, that you're eating and drinking their blood and eating their flesh. You kind of feel closer to them. You're committed more to them. That's the time you feel the holiness, the sanctity. And gathering together, and everybody has this ritual. People don't like to call it that.
Yes,
way, but
it is a ritual. It is a ritual.
It is a ritual. Right? The whole idea of congregation. Now, bear with me a little bit. When Jesus, according to the Bible, when Jesus, if he did exist, according to the Bible, roamed the earth, he never have a church. He walked along, and where he see fit, he had his disciple and them talk about what them talk about. He never build anything. He never have anything according to the Bible. He walk up and down, people give him food, or him beg food, or him take food, or him do all of that something. Him take and beg and him give. He never need money. He just need place to shelter for the most part, because it seems that's all he did according to the Bible.
Preach
the word of God, right?
Yes.
He never have a congregation for himself. He never have donkey. He never have mule. He never have boat, nor all
one,
of them stuff
one,
there.
One donkey, right, for the bar and bar.
Yeah, Barra, according to the Bible, I don't see where him borrowed the donkey. Him tell somebody if you go lose the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when you go tell somebody if you take somebody thing and then not give
I,
you,
I
it's not call Barra for me. You know, call Barra. But, you know, these are the things, you know, we're talking about it, and I hope that we can get an opportunity that we really can talk and we don't close out our mind. Now, for the most of the believer, when we talk like this and you hear somebody just turn off them radio, that is the devil talking. How is it the devil I'm talking about exactly what is in your book? But all of a sudden it seems like something open up your eye and say, oh, my God, am I drinking blood? Am I eating flesh? I mean, is that what I'm doing? And all of a sudden, you're going to say, I mean, that's the devil talking. That's not the devil talking. This is what your pastor tell you every Sunday to do. I did not say that. This is what you have been doing all along. So all of a sudden, because I translate or I reflect what he's saying, and you automatically start to see it in a different light. You say, I'm the devil. And let me tell you how programming works, and all of you do know this. You have a counter program for every time you kind of figure out the program. You know, hey, this is what is happening. You have something that's going counter it. And this is what the system of the church does. The same thing that Wall Street and salespeople use. A good salesman is a manipulator. The best of them. Them sell you, say, I tell you, say, a good salesman can sell you London Bridge, and it's not joke thing. Them can sell you Ellis Island. Them can sell your whole country and your buy it. Period, is knowing your mind and knowing what is like you have, knowing what button to press And once you know what button to press, there's no coming back. There's no turning back.
That is so true. So, go ahead.
When you talk about Mr. Kevin now, part of the religious thing, they teach you about the psychology. You have to know how to convince people, right?
Yes. And he was a master of that.
Exactly. Anytime you have any of these preachers in these mega churches or any preacher in any kind of church, you have to have that person able to convince you in order for you to stay in a them organization. There's no hands if not but. When you leave Pastor Jones' church, funny enough, you know, when you leave Pastor Jones' church, religion are done with you, you know. It means that you find Sister Cecile Church, where Sister Cecile Church, nice. Because your mind is susceptible to it. The foundation is set in your mind for the religiousness, and you always are going to seek after you. Now, Pastor Brown may carry you to halfway tree, but Pastor Brown kind of loses it, so I'm not stimulating your mind no more. So you're still in other thing because, you know, purge yourself of it. And oftentimes, even those people who claim they're not religious anymore, it's not something you can just get rid of like that. I can't now get rid of you because it's programmed in your blood. unconsciously, I mean, 10, 50 layers of unconsciousness. So even when something happened to you, the first thing, although you say you don't believe in God, the first thing is, Lord have mercy, Jesus, help me.
It's programmed deep down. Exactly. So once you get into this,
what I call cult, is hardly any way to get out of it. Hardly any way to get out of it. And these pastors know that because their organization, I was listening, somebody sent me a little clipping, because I didn't know about this man. Well, certainly I wouldn't have been listening to him in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, because of all of this atrocity that happened, kind of figure out what. They sent me something today with this guy, telling this guy, hey, reason why you don't come to church, Miss So-and-so, I want to talk to you, because you have a man, you know? And, you know, come to church late, and the people them come in humbly, know them come to church late. I mean, I don't know how on earth them could have come to church late, period. And them know so them have to go pay a late fee. How on earth them not start ready from last night, or they at church from the night before, so them not late, because them know so them have to go pay a late fee. Now, you can say, and here is what, other believers in other organizations says, when you see something like this, and when all of a sudden these come to light, he wasn't a man of God. He's the devil. You know, I mean, the thing is,
they might not be doing literal blood sacrifices, but there are issues in the church that are nasty issues that are not being rectified. Issues in the church that are not being rectified. Pastor sleeping with church sister.
But all of them, I think all of the church do the blood sacrifice something. Them probably not kill a physical animal
Sunday. That's what I'm saying. But they do have issues. They do have issues. So when they look at him and say, him and a Christian or whatever, no. They should look within themselves.
Absolutely. Now you're talking.
They should look within themselves. Because there are things that,
And, you know, it gave me cause for concern, and I paused to think that, one, this pandemic has done something that not even the average person could have done, because who would have told individuals that going to church for one year or for two Sundays straight would arm them? If you had told anybody earlier that if you don't go to church 2 weeks, no, sir, you tell me not go to church 2 weeks? I have to go to church every Sunday. The pandemic showed that you can go to church up to forever. Not go to church up to forever. And you're still alive. Because a lot of people have not gone into church a year and a year plus since the pandemic. And they're still
I think that this is where we have a lot of problem with folks that just believe that the connection to their life is walking in a church on a particular day or night. They are so programmed, and they don't realize that the programmer is only programming them for themselves, for their own pleasure. And part of their pleasure, to have them there to glorify him or her and to support their lifestyle. So in that sense, we really realize that we're not in control of our mind and our body. It is totally given or taken away by somebody else. And all what we do and say, we're answerable to them for our action. So even though sometimes when we go home, whatever we do at home, this is why when we do things, the so-called sin, and take a look at this. When we so-called sin, we come back and confess to them so they know while you are away from me, there are things that you have been doing that although I'm not there to physically look at it, I still am going to know because you have no other way other than to come back and tell me what you do. So you have to repent for your sin. You have to do, and part of repenting is go through these sacrifices, these blood sacrifice physically for a lot of these people, and a lot of it physically for the representation of what that is. So in every way, you're intertwined with them, controlling your mind. And the Bible, what folks don't understand, this Bible I've stuck on religion and the book. I mean, now you have quite a bit of different version of the book, but it's the same book, controlling as group of people. So you have them controlling groups. Some may be Muslim, some may be Ramadan, if that's the word. So maybe Christian, so maybe Rastafarian, so maybe that. So everybody grab them little group. Hey, you don't like Muhammadan anymore?
Muhammad, you come to Christianity.
So
you don't like Rastafarianism. Yeah. Go somewhere else.
To farm your own little thing.
Yes, in essence, there's a group for everyone.
There's a group
for everybody. Yes. Yes, there's a group for everyone, and everybody have their own little group.
Exactly. And everybody's vying for the same thing, and everybody said them have the truth, and everybody, then the war starts. So then you start to fight against me, and I start to fight against you. So what I always say, boy, if God is really God in a sense, and these are different gods, so Mohammedan God, Jesus God, Rasta God, Selassie God, all kind of those gods, why these gods can't get together and say, boy, my disciples and followers, you know, are going bad, you know, have a conference like the G8 that is going on now.
Uh-huh,
so maybe,
uh-huh.
maybe it's 8 major gods, I'm not sure. And say, them have a major conference. This is a world thing now. I said, why? Mohammedan God, Jesus God, Rasta God, all want to come together and say, listen, man, and the follower, them are going with bad things. Them are mash up the world. Them are kill each other. Them are do this. I mean, they are two people, them, the man.
Uh-huh.
They are people, them, no, say, and this we stand for. We up here having a nice time in the G-Summit. We are fly with big plane and we have nice thing and nice food and all of them. These people don't, them not have food, them not have that, them a fight against one another, them a kill one another for stupid things like land and ideology and all of those things. These guys must have a funny say, boy, they're fool, you know, bad.
Yeah.
You know, listen to me, my sister. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jack, now.
What I'm looking at, you know, we are Jamaicans, and there are things that we outrightly will not tolerate are, you know, definitely when we see things, we're going to say something about it or so on. And I'm saying to myself, why nobody saw Kevin Smith as a cult pastor, as somebody who wants to be in control, controlling these people's mind? Nobody saw that. Nobody on the outside, nobody on the inside. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard that this is the second run-in he had with the police. There was an incident where the police had to be called in and they had a standoff with this man. So I believe from then on, they should have stepped in and find out what's going on. But because these
are...
I don't think...
The thing about these mega pastors, let's look at, say, Holsnell and Dollar and all of those people. Remember, here is the psychology of the whole thing. These people operate and control you by fear. So if you as a single person, look on this, I was just talking about it. If me as a little single person would have looked on Kevin, or me would have looked on Holson, you have a couple of pockets of these people out there talking about that. The congregation would have come down on you like crow.
Yes.
And destroy you.
Well,
because
there is...
this is how these people are set up to do. This is what I was just talking about.
They
will come down on you like a vulture. You cannot say anything bad about these people. And
this is
even
one of the interviews.
You have a situation like this that happens so bloody and brutal, you are going to find, because these people so ingrained in the belief system that you have such a hot chastity, you're going to have people who still believe.
You're right.
Then
you're right.
Think about
that.
The people them who die.
You're right.
Believe
in
that this man is still who he is.
Because in one of the interviews where the one of the guy was saying that, you know, when he tells them, like, do not have anything to do with the females in the church because they are witches, and is that family, that dirty family wants to go in, or that nasty family wants to go into. You know, when he tells them this and tell them to stay away from the women or the young girls in the church, these young boys. And if they ever go back and
say anything, you're right, then they'll be looked upon as outcasts, they and their family.
Of course.
He even tells them not to go visit their family. And if they go and visit their family, these young boys who are living with him, if they go and visit their families, he's going to beat them.
They can't come back.
He beat them mercilessly. Because one of the guys say he beats them with a hose. And it's not just an ordinary beating. He beat them. And you know, I believe, as the girl in one of the interviews say, Kevin, it goes with men and goes with women. I believe he was grooming these boys, or if he hadn't started having intercourse with these boys. Because they were just in lockstep. They wouldn't leave. They go to work and come back home. They wouldn't go back to the family. And you know, you're right about need. And these boys, one of them said he was from the ghetto area. He knew nothing. So coming in contact with Kevin gave him something to hope for, something to hold on to.
Of course. Somebody you can drive in a car. You live in a decent house.
Mm-hmm.
Although you still feel like a stranger and you're a slave there, you are a part of something. You never had anybody giving you or telling you are a part of anything. This is why people who belong to congregation is usually, for the most part of it, they usually go to the ghetto, because this is the psychology. The poorest are poor, because you want to give people hope. And when you have this thing called like the ark, when you think about the Bible, and the ark is for safety, and the ark is for what is going to bring you new. Remember when after the flood, and you were on the ark, you were saved, and it opened up this
new world.
Mm-hmm. So think about naming something and having that association is giving you power. You want to go into the ark. You're going to be enveloped into the womb of safety. If you're in the ghetto and you're struggling and life is tough and hard, and you get to be in the presence of somebody who you think is an honorable person, and he has this, he has money, he has all of these things, that's why you, as the pastor, or you want to try to start pastoring to people, when you have these missionary, you don't see them going out into, and let me ask you one time. You see missionary walking up into Beverly Hills or this very affluent area and talking about them ministering to expensive people?
Mm-mm. They're going to go to the people who are poor.
Okay. They go down to the poor people, the poor and vulnerable, that you can steal their minds. And when you steal their minds, you are in control of them. And when you're in control of them, you have them supporting your lifestyle. So it's nothing more than the very same thing that we were having on the slave plantation. The master is up there, him have him church. Every master have a church and a Bible. Every Sunday. That's the time you get a relief off of the farm. And the people, of course, there has to be lighting, because that at the time, you know, are walking at the hot sun. But that was for a reason. They want to say, hey, they refresh you up for Monday morning and for the rest of the week. You are before God. All of them big lick that want me give you is for you. Hear it in the Bible. The Bible is saying, this is, you are to serve me as your master. And it also means, we were talking about why, you said why those people don't say anything. Nobody in the church, although maybe they're going to be out of their mind to say, Sister Jean, boy, Mr. Pastor, I do this with so-and-so. They cannot talk, because Sister Jean, Sister Jean accommodate the conversation. Sister Jean, I go say, because she's so programmed. Well, I did Lord tell Pastor just said that him can't have sex with so-and-so. Nothing wrong with that, sister. You know, him a make the little boy body sanctified for the Lord or something like that. You know, if he's a sister, it's the same thing. And the pastor would tell you, hey, sister so-and-so, how many women have been raped in the church? How many women, little innocent children, have lost their innocence in the church in the name of the Lord? A lot of them who have, they're afraid. Because you have to put fear into people in order to control them.
Uh-huh.
And that's if you don't...
That's exactly what he did. You know, he put dry fear into them. They're going to die. If they go look for their families, they're going to die. If they don't put their tithes and offering, they're going to die. If they don't come to church, they're going to die.
You can imagine. When there are certain signs that you, and the thing about it, this is a part of psychology. You separate people from the things that they know, and you create a new environment for them. If you go back to your pastor is humping you and beating you and all of that, he wants you to leave. Even the Bible and marriage tell you, if you left your people them and cling to your wife or your husband, you feel literally shun them and be to them. Because you're creating a new world and you don't want it to be antagonistic with the world that you left. Because, listen, even when you have your mother and your father, and think about it, and you're married, and you have a problem with your husband, you left them and gone, and you go back, and you call up mama and start to talk to her. She is on the outside, and she can able to see your side of the story and the marriage side, and she can see the reality. And she will say, boy, let the man, you know, see how the man beat you up, and you know, see how the man do that. Now, husband, do not want you to talk to your mother. Hence, you going to, mom, influence, come, mom, have influence against you to you know. Can't remember you grow with her for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So husband do not want you to be humping, have that relationship with your parents, because it has got make for them life miserable for control you.
Yes.
So because what them do, you're going to say, mom, and you know him do this to me. And you say, no, you can't accept that, blah, blah, blah. Then it go and cause friction. So when him have you totally and you forsake your mama and your dad and now listen to them, him can have you totally and him can reprogram you for how him wants you to behave. Hey, when you come home every evening, you have to take off your clothes, you have to wash my foot, you have to cook my food. That, and the Bible will tell you, that is the duty for a wife.
Yes.
This man, if him have boys sleeping with him or boy, him say, when you come in every evening, every day, you have to do this, you have to have that, you have to check off this. I have to beat you, because maybe that's a part of his sexual little fantasy. Mm-hmm. I have to beat you. The more I beat you till you bleed,
the
more you feel is better in God's eyes.
Yes.
And he believed that.
This is the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and you're listening to your host, Sister Cecile, with our trusty co-host on the other end, Dr. Evelyn Richardson, and listen to her as she speaks about the power of the mind. Okay, Dr. Ev, continue speaking.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, it's kind of a tough thing, but you're kind of a not kind of, you are in on the idea or the path where we cannot, this is why even when you have very good friends, certain people don't like that you have very good friends, because that friend is going to be your consciousness, not your emotions.
Your consciousness.
If you exactly,
and
if
that is how you know an abuser. Anybody who wants to take you away from your consciousness, your friends,
Thank you.
Persons who will show you the right, say, this not right, you know. You're not going down the right path, you know. They want to take you away from those persons, your consciousness, so that they can control you. And that's exactly
absolutely
what Abisa is. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so much so, and people don't look, and maybe some of you listeners may have a little problem with me saying that, don't realize how much the church is also in that abusive situation as well. And if you should stop and think about it, it is an abusive situation because it controls you. And it tells you your reward is up somewhere in the sky somewhere. So all of the pain and the suffering, your beer, and it tells you that. Give the pain and the suffering, because your reward is up somewhere. And you tell me, my sister, I don't know how much of a religious person anybody is listening. Tell me who passed on from the, no, before I even get there. You're living in the dungeon, and you're supporting a pastor who lives on the Riviera and driving, flying a $60 million plane. But I'm going to tell you, your reward is in heaven, but him I live for him glorious life now. But yours is in heaven, and you cannot see. You don't have a house. Him have a house on a $50 million plane that you have to be supporting.
Mm-hmm.
Him have a congregation that the money that's coming. Remember, you know, you can't even send your picnic to school. You
uh-huh.
can't even have proper diet. You don't have care. Is your $5, your $10, and all of that you have to hustle. When Sunday coming up, even if you not go eat, the pastor have to have free money.
Oh, yes.
What are you getting
sometimes,
from the church? What are you getting
you wish,
from pastor?
Sometimes you wish you would have, some people in the congregation wish they'd have just the crumbs that the pastor dash off in table.
Thank
because
you.
He must be
thank
eating
you.
Dinner. And a lot of people sitting in the congregation with them $1, $5, $1, $10, $1, $2. And guess what? They take it and they put it in the offering plate and they're hungry. They're hungry. Yeah, I'm not saying that miracles don't happen, but no. Why help the pastor to buy a big car where you'll never drive in? A big mansion that you'll never one night sleep in. I'm homeless. You're not going to be taken into that house.
The pastor would never give you a plate where I eat out of and drink out of as in congregation. It won't happen.
No, it's not going
to happen. So,
what kind of a loving... Go ahead.
What kind of a loving pastor is that? What kind of a loving human being is that then?
Yeah. A lot of times,
these are some of the things you have to think about. Yes, some of them would use the psychology and them give a little whole flow on them, leave a little what, because you know what? The fact that they make you, like they give you a little food, and you say, Lord, Pastor, give me this. If Pastor never give me that little food, I mean, I know I'm picking them with a heat tonight. But Pastor now give you nothing that is nourishing. Our Pastor now give you anything that is even good. He might make sure, say, he might keep you upon the edge that you can be that the gratefulness. It's like the same in the pastor. Oh, Lord has been merciful unto me. Why? Oh, how did God be merciful unto you and give me a little food today? Really?
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things that we have to say. For example, you never have no dinner today. And me a pastor, me see you hungry. And me you buy one. I hope I would not buy a burger for you or anything. But say, me give you one pizza. We have some oxtail on Sunday. I get some oxtail and some rice or pig and chicken or whatever that is, what you like. And instead, when we give that plate of oxtail, you say, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus,
you understand what you just said? I mean, stand up before you now.
Mm-hmm.
And give you a plate of oxtail. And I know, you know, say, thank you, Eva. God, thank you, Eva. You know, thank you for giving me something because you never carry this good food to me. I don't know how would I manage. They said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, this. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that.
You
and
know,
I these things.
I am privy to a lot of things that go on in the church, like where people are in the church and hungry. People are in the church and don't have anywhere to live. And you never see the pastor, you know, say, okay, take up this offering today, Sunday's offering.
Mm.
It's going to be taken up to give to XYZ sister so she can pay her rent,
mm-hmm.
so she and her children can be comfortable with a roof over their head. I've never seen that. Never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear pastor Sunday, and is the pastor's wife, the first lady's Sunday, and the pastor, the first lady, and pastor that, and you never hear congregation appreciation. It's always pastor's appreciation or pastor's wife appreciation. You never hear congregation appreciation. Where the pastor take the offering that give for that particular day, say, okay, if it's 50 people in the congregation, we're going to split this offering between the 50, among the 50 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that you can eat, and I can eat, and Sister Jane can eat, and Brother Tom can eat. I've never seen that done. And as I say, this Kevin Smith thing has brought, it has stirred, it's like a trigger, you know, and a crawling up out of your craw, out of your belly, that you notice way back then, and you say, but wait, those things weren't right, really. Because I remember I had a pastor when I was growing up, and we could go to his house, but we've never been into his house. There's always two little rooms at the back where two little church sisters live, and that's the only place we could go. We could never, I've never seen in the house. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And those two sisters were the ones who cooked and cleaned for the pastor. But yet you could go into the yard, but you could never even go on the veranda. Never, never. I've never seen in their house. I've never ate in their house. But they come and they get offering. They get the offering and the missus, the first lady, she wore the best. And even at times when there were conventions, and if you even cover down like a doily thing on top of your head, she won't tear it off your head, and you need to wear a hat. And she would never say to you, 20 hats, which one do you want? So this thing
I'll give you one, you can ask, which one do you want? I mean, take one of them congi, which you not wear anymore. But you're not going to do that, because you don't want the regular human being to wear a hat where you wear it at a church.
And listen, stick a pin. I remember we had this dressmaker in the church, and she made clothes for everybody. And she, let's say it's a convention coming up, she wants like a dress for every day. And on one of the days, she'll wear two dresses, like on a Sunday. She'll wear one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And she wants all her dresses, or all eight dresses. And then guess what? It gives the sister no time to make your little two, because you're going to wear, you know, mix up. Wear one today, and, you know, wear it again until 3 days after. Yes, you can't get yours. And she'll come and she'll fuss with the dressmaker for her dress. And not considering that this is only one person and she needs to make dresses for other people. No, she had no consideration. So looking back, all of this is just taking me all the way back and said, these were really, really oppressive attitudes, you know, oppressive attitudes back then. You couldn't dress like her. You couldn't dress like her. And as you rightly say, she would never want you to dress like her, because you couldn't buy the same material, because the dressmaker is going to tell you, no, she has this material. You can't buy this material from me.
Yes.
So looking back now, it's like, oh my goodness,
all those things. But as you rightly say, they coach you to believe that your reward is coming later on. So suffer this now. Clean the church on your knees. Clean the church on your knees, right? Wash the church windows, you know? Yeah.
Water the plants
in the church. Take care of the churchyard and all of that. And they did nothing. Nights after nights, you'd go to church and you'd clean. And it's a big church. You'd clean and you have one person cleaning this section, the other person clean, and on your knees, right? And if you come to church with your shoes popped down, you remember those times when you wear your shoes until the tip gone and you find the whole thing sticking out with the nail in there. And if you come to church, sometimes you walk in the church, you have to be tipping. You don't want the nail
to
be
so much noise.
Mm-hmm. And she would never look at you and say, okay, sister, you and I wear the shoes. I'm going to take up your shoes. I'll take one to you. No. No. And then you have to be paying your tithes and offering. And there were times when they would be telling you that, okay, it is harvest coming, and they're going to send out envelopes, and then you are going to put like $1,000 in there, $1,000, and where you get it from? But I wanted you to give it. And if you don't give it, you are looked upon, you're frowned upon, like, oh, you're not a part
of it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And this is where you want to say, somebody, again, even though they are in their church and their church is doing the same thing, they will say, oh, that's not real church. That's not that. But okay, let's look at what you're doing in your church.
What's the real church?
Isn't
the real
even
church?
Worse? Mm-hmm. It's worse. So when we talk about church and religion, I am not saying something for some people, especially the pastor and his wife, is not a good thing, because it's a good thing for them, because them get rich and them give, have people who adore them, people can wash them foot, people can give them every single thing that they want.
Uh-huh.
In the community, they are looked upon, so it's good for them. But for the average person in the church, you are just their slave, their footstool, literally.
Uh-huh.
They abuse you sexually, financially. You're their slave. And you will never, you ever hear, as you rightly say, the custodian, get a custodian day, or they call him up and give him a special something. It's not going to happen. The only thing I think church does for a lot of people is, if you are a member, you probably have a whole heap more people. You can get your body lie in the church, which a lot of people like, and maybe a couple more people come on your funeral. But other than that, the time when you're alive, you are mistreated. For some people, and the abuse, you don't recognize the abuse as mistreatment. Because, and I don't think it is a healthy place to go into. You just talk about the sisters who are, you know, have to come to convention. First of all, you have to make sure, even if you have to go trust piece of cloth and trust the thing, you end up saying, well, a convention will come. You
have
to sell
nice.
This and sell that, and you have to look
nice.
A certain
nice.
Kind of way. You are getting out of your financial state. You're putting yourself in debt just to be a part of it. So that cannot be healthy. There is no thing as come as you are. Because you know within the church, they are going to criticize every heck out of you.
Yes.
So there is no wonderful and no safe place being in the church. Especially for the woman, if you're not the first lady, why are you going to church? Why don't you take that money, put it in the bank, and educate your children so you can get out of poverty, so you don't have to believe in the word miracle?
The pastor,
so you
the pastor
can
educate
your
children.
The miracle. Exactly. You can work your miracle in getting a degree, getting a job, rather than you have to don't educate your child and sit down and pastor for prayer for a miracle that will never come.
You know, there was a time in the church where, that's about in 1979, 1980, 81, 82, where I remember this girl had started going to teachers college. And when she came back, you know, like she'd come back on the weekends for church. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, she would use terminologies that she never normally used. But this girl was just, you know, she's gone into a different environment. And she was just coming back and using the words that she used when she's around her, she's at school. You know, and they started mm-hmm. criticizing her like, oh, she come back. And a show off, and then there was this one pastor who he went up one day and he was preaching. He said, when they go to UC, that the university, you see them no more.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to UC, you see them no more. Mm-hmm. And I live to see that pastor sent all of his kids to the University of the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, she had stopped going to college. She stopped. I was much younger than her, and she stopped. And she didn't go back again to college until she migrated to the United States and she got into nursing. But it's just going to show you how they program you.
Exactly.
This girl was
she
was trying to get out of it, but get so caught up in it that she slid right back into it because the fact that they said to her, you go to UC, mean you go to the university, you don't see them no more. They come back different. Anyway, yeah, man. Let's step out of Babylon again. Yeah. Because this is really Babylon. The song not coming up. Yeah, this is really Babylon. So we're stepping out of Babylon. Okay, my song not coming up. Anyway, we try this again later. So, yes, Dr. Ev, this is all that is about brainwashing. And sometimes when you listen to people and say, you know what, I don't believe in church and so on, people say, no, man, you're an idiot if you don't believe in a church, and church a good thing and church a this. But when you go down into the nitty-gritty, there are some things about the church that are not right, that are not mm-hmm. healthy. And it's true. Yes, I go to church. Yeah, I do go to church, but there are some things that the church puts out that are not healthy. Not healthy.
I think here is what I think that organization and networking are wonderful, especially I think for Black people. It's a wonderful thing if it works. For example, if you have a thing like, say, you call it church, and say you have 200 or 300 people in there. Let's pull our resources together. Every week, the same offering thing, you put your $50 for offering. We find a piece of land. We establish a land. You have 200 people. Every one of them, if they so wish, and they will get a unit. This is how they will get a unit. So the church probably, with every week the offering going, they pay their mortgage or they, so you can establish your own banking system because the church can afford it, you know, the church mm-hmm. can afford it. And then people would see that the church is doing something. And I would be inclined, certainly it can work. For example, you have 300-400 people. I mean, everybody would basically eat like rice, beans, and all of that. You set up every Saturday a corp, and the church people support that corp. So the funding from that corp, you get a special price. So you will be getting, instead of buying a pound of rice for a dollar, in the open market, with this co-op, you'll get it for 40 cents. Mm-hmm. Now, that would help. For example, you have a scholarship fund, like everybody would put a $10 towards scholarship fund. Every year, I mean, you have, when it's time for students to go to school, the fund would help support their college. Now, that is what church, to me, is supposed to be.
Supposed to be doing.
You cannot have a pastor alone. I get $60 million to buy a jet, and people in your congregation is poor, and it's the people in your congregation are poor because I want like a $50 and $20 and $10 them are putting in your offering. But you have so much people, and it's continually three offering a day, three offering every, the more offering them have, the more book them buy, the more everything. So you're getting the $1 billion, and these people are remaining on the poverty level just to support your lifestyle. And if anybody
Babylon
can
thing.
Contradict that, I would really like to see, because if you can tell me your church helps you with all of this, then I would say, wow, that is what church is supposed to be about. Because you're not only taking care of the spiritual, you must take care of the physical too. You know?
You know, that is true. And I tell you, I have been on the receiving end of this. So I know when I talk about the church, I know what I'm talking about. Not helpful. The church, no church don't help me. And I've been in church since I really got serious.
You're born.
Since I was 14.
Because
I mean, really
church
get
where you never
you
had
know,
the opportunity you had to go
look,
to church. Right, you
look
at me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, when I came here to the United States and I fell on hard times, right? Fell on hard times. And I would go to church. And there's nobody, you know, people knew things were rough with me because, you know, me just come on in a so nice. And never one day one person in the church come to me and say, you know, I know you're going through some hard times. Here's $100. You know, can buy some food or help with the rent or so on and so forth. And I would sit there, you know, week after week, and I'd look and I'd watch and I see all the big shots go by. And I say, you know something? Mm-mm. There was a time when I'd stop going there because I couldn't believe that this was a church. The church who supposed to be enveloped in love wasn't showing love. You know, it's just about, for many people, it's just a place where you meet and greet and you put on your pretty clothes and you go show off and people say, oh, I love your dress.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It amounts to a lot of that. You know, people just come and you sit down, you have your big suit and who can wear the nicest suit, and after church, you sit down and talk. And if you're not in that category, Babylon thing, man, let me say I can run the show again. Let me say I can run the song again. Yeah, Babylon thing. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's time for us to step away from the Babylon thing. Yeah. We'll be right back. there's a Mount Zion, so let's step out of Babylon one by one. Yeah, listen to these words. Yeah,
step out of Babylon and step into your own consciousness. Free your mind, you know, as much as you can. Make your own decision. That's what this should bring us to the point where we start helping to protect our children, helping to protect our children, meaning we learn to focus on other things other than to get. I think a lot of us think, I mean, we believe in this life eternal, so we refuse to live the earthly life. And not so. Because you know what? None of the people who you say you love so much and you give them the pretty kafmo, even when you never end up give them food to eat, you give them the beautiful kafmo and the big send-off, and none of them not come back and tell you, say, boy, hey, up I have my up, down I have, I don't do this, I don't do that. Street of gold, do this, and make sure you do that so you can come on Helm Street or you can go so-and-so, this person. No, nobody not come back and tell you nothing. So I am not sure where we get this idea from when you ask people, people are going to heaven and people are going to hell and who did it. And when you ask them, nobody come back and tell you nothing. No, the Bible says so. It's only the Bible says so. And the people that will live all of this, none of them come back and give you no idea what's going up there. So I think these things we have to really consciously take a look at how we really interpret things, how we really perceive things. And I think for the most of us, which include myself, we're totally lost because we are get turned around by these manipulators. And by time you realize that you're in this kind of hogwash, you've turned 60 and 70 and 80. You don't have enough time to go back.
My mother would say,
you get
chronic. My mother would say, get chronic. You get chronic.
Yes, yes, yes. And sometimes you just sit down and you give up.
Yeah.
You know, you give up. We could have done so much more with our lives if we never go along in the believing system and the worst kind of belief system, where you have somebody controlling your life. And not only controlling your life, if you have 10 pitney, then take the 10 pitney life too. And then take the other 10 pitney life, and a generation after generation after generation, then capture all of them. As a matter of fact, once them start the ball a roll, they have to do nothing more. Because
ball can't in a roll.
Automatic. Exactly.
Autoplay.
Autoplay.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell you, the people them will murder you if you talk nothing bad about them, God. The same. This is why me and church and church people could never do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this, you know, we need to start looking at, you know, consciousness, and I hope the people of Jamaica have experienced this outright. You know, it's not undercover anymore. It's not covered down. It's not hidden. It's a cover blew off. So, you know, look into yourselves, people, and see where you are. Look into your own consciousness, and that's the only thing that's going to keep you sane. Getting in your own consciousness, because a lot of us are struggling with mental health and don't even know it because our mind gets warped, our mind gets brainwashed, you know, whitewashed.
But I think once we get into religion, we're in a mental health problem.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in a religion, you're in a mental health problem. And it takes, you know, if somebody having mental health issues, very few of us would be honest enough to say we are having mental health issues. And when it come on to religion, you can't even go there so at all, because it is so bad, and they get so defensive,
yeah,
and they get so aggressive. They will pre the blood. They will tell you, oh, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
If them usually give you, if let me tell you something, my sister. Let me tell you something, truly. If you have somebody who yonder them a minister to you, so called, and then you know you're hungry, and then go up on the street and find them hungry people, why you think? You think these people are interested in you as a person? They're interested in your mind. So them go in and them want bodies. Bodies have mind in them. So when they have bodies, represent the bodies in the church. They are represented at one time. You are going to give up your space for number or number in financially. So if you have 300 people, that will look good upon them. And then bash you now to make sure you are support financially. Because you're not going to want Indian to contribute. You understand? Unless you're one of the outlaw them. And if you're really outlaw, you're not going to waste your time there anymore. So they need bodies. So anybody out there, once the body is still upright, it has a mind in them, and them can control you and resurrect you.
Uh-huh.
Wash you off, put on little clothes upon you, and them love that because them can say, hey, I was out on this. And this is where you call them ministering. Them fix them up and put word in their mouth. I was out on the street. And Pastor so-and-so reached out to me because I was down. When nobody passed me over, I didn't have a shoes. I didn't know where the food was coming from. But Pastor looked beyond that. And now I'm standing on the pulpit here today. And as I reach out my hand to all of you out there who are desperate and in need, come in here because this is the way of salvation. This is the heart. This is the place to be. And once you do that, even when you're out there and you hear that I want, say, what? Him, pick up my mouth. May I come over here for two? You know, because I feel a part of this. But him have a better mission for you. The fact that him put you up there, it's going to draw more people because you have this unique
stories.
That's money. And you're going to make him look good. But him still not going to offer you a bed in my house. Now make you drink all time gold spoon. You understand me?
Yeah.
Him going to wave to you nicely when him are driving and then him not going to make you drive in him $60 million a year paid. It is not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. Definitely not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
See these things. Now, with that said, I am not telling you that you not to seek your God. And because I think with my little bit of knowledge, there has to be a little bit something higher than me. You know, I think my mother is the closest to that line. That's the conduit of life to me, which we should be pronating before every woman, especially if them is a conduit of life. Now, if we turn the world around like that, we would see a better direction because you cannot talk to a father who you can't see and the mother who's there with you, who you know, who you come to, who suckle you for 9 months. You can hear 18 months, however she could have do it, you know, whether it's lovingly or beat, box, foot or whatever. She carry on, she bring it to you. You understand? She doesn't know how to do anything better.
Hold a minute for me. This is the CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and you're listening to your host, Sister Cecile, and right now we're talking about Kevin Smith, the cult pastor who made news in Jamaica. They're saying he's dead. He's not dead, rather. In fact, we know that he's dead. He's in the morgue. So we're talking also about how the mind, the power of the mind, and how the mind is controlled by people like Kevin Smith. So if you want to join this conversation, you just press 1 on your keypad and we'll just put your hand up and we'll see you, all right? So you're listening to Dr. Evelyn speak about the mind and the mind's consciousness. So go ahead and continue speaking, Dr. Evelyn.
Yeah, man. Boy, I'll tell you. I think this is just such a wonderful point that wonderful show. A lot of time, and I hope you'll have quite a bit more of these topics, because we need to help each other to get out of this psychological torture, that torture chamber that we don't even realize we are into. And we are so proud to wear the armor and to have the sign, and most of us wear the sign upon our chest, the cross, which another thing we can't believe. If somebody kill your child with a gun, you go take
want to wear the cross. Want to wear the gun over the neck.
You know what I mean?
No.
To remind you that to me that's barbaric stuff.
No,
so
you wear no cross.
The stuff. These are some of the stuff that we have to look on and really realize what the psychological suffering where we have got through, and we don't know, and we battle for it. The insanity that church put us through. And we were talking about what does church do for the average person. For the average person, nothing. What could church do for the average person? A lot of things.
Uh-huh.
But just like in the general population, the Mr. CEO, not why share him wealth with you, because they want to keep you controlled. He may give you a little raise on your salary and you a little smile and put your picture as they and motivate you to give your picture of the month and the power wall somewhere, but you will never get invited to the executive office.
No,
never do that. You know, so it's the same thing in the church. It's no different. You know, you have people who them fool them, and literally these pastors. So some of them just know say you're fool. Like I'll come in and we tell you anything. Kevin, I hear her, I think, you say, hey, oh man, I'm here to tell you if you don't sleep with man, a man you have making a day, you know, come to church. And you see, you're going to walk on somebody and you know that's abusive. But you make the pastor walk up on you and you think that's how God's supposed to behave?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That is so true.
And if you are going to say, Lord, pastor, walk upon me, and you are going to feel good, pastor, walk upon me and choose me to walk upon my body.
Yeah, you feel good, he walks
with
on you because, I mean, this man is holy, so guess what? It's somebody holy. You know, it's just incredible, man. And I tell you.
Spit on you, and you think it's something good?
He spit on his congregants, too, you know. How could you do
so,
something like
so
that?
But
even in a normal condition, somebody spit on your head, it's going to be a fight. So why would you allow this man to spit on you and you just sit there and take it as that? No.
And come
something
back,
is
and
wrong.
Come back and a bus. You're going to bust him up with something. Evil. But somebody may say, all right, that Kevin do that. Look about in your church. When pastor get up and say, some of you don't like to do this, and some of you is having an affair with some, and a sibling business, that they're not supposed to speak to you like that. Condescending
and
rude.
Yeah, and, you know, our time is limited. So, you know, but when you think about how this man speak about women, and even in the interview with this girl, you know, she said, Kevin doesn't treat women right. Kevin debased women. Kevin thinks nothing of women. And you see it coming out, you know. You see it coming out in the
but my
where
sister,
he keeps telling
Bible, the Bible do not respect women. The majesty, the way how the Bible treat women.
Has to get women as hard.
Kevin learned it from the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible don't have nothing good to say about woman.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. Then get raped. Then get these holy men who claim they are holy people are them as is people of Jesus, follower of Jesus. Them rape. Them have how much woman. I mean, why don't we, when we're looking at the Bible, we don't hold these men responsible?
I tell you what,
Dr. Evans.
For them,
they have holy.
I tell you what, we'll have to save that for another show. Because nice. Yeah, we'll definitely have to save this for another show. So we'll come back with this, you know, probably next week. But we have a lot to say. It's not done yet. We still have a lot to say. But to take us off the air tonight, and Dr. Evans, thank you so much for coming on this show and sharing this with me in this lively discussion. I enjoyed this thoroughly, and we're looking forward for another like this next week. And I thank you all for listening, and for those who will listen in the archive, just take what you want to take out of this. It's our opinion. Just deal with it as it comes. Just take your part, leave what is not yours, so we do it, okay? And we're looking forward to have you next week coming back on our show. And to take us off the air, we're going to go back again to Stepping Out of Babylon.